thank you for the assurance that you have given us in your word, where you said it will not go out and come back void. It will produce what you have sent it forth to do. And we claim that right now in the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we do pray. Amen. Baptist hymnal, hymn number 249, and I'm not going to sing it, Sister Linda, so, but assurance. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I'm sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep down in my soul. And then it says, yes, God is real. Real in my soul. Yes, God is real. For he hath washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. God's real. But you have to open yourself up to receive this gospel. And when you open yourself up to receive this gospel, God will show you how real he is. He's real. No matter what the world may say, or how they may try to portray him, or you, because you believe, I just stopped by to tell you one thing. Yes, God is real. I know he's real. Opportunity this week in Congress, in the annual Congress at St. John, had the opportunity to just about be there and absorb the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing when you have been saved. And you are in the midst of saved people. And to watch God just be God all by himself. It's also the thing that God is still doing for all of us in this setting that we're in. And I thank God for that. Let me get to the task, my task at hand today. I titled this, Begin in Faith, about the man that's called a friend of God, Brother Abraham. It's a lot of writing in the book of Genesis about this man called Abram. Lot of writings. I think it's from 12 to about 49. Most of them covers something to do with Brother Abraham, who's called a friend of God. But Abraham, just like the rest of us, have not always been walking with God. Began in faith. Have you ever thought about changing your life? Turning your life completely around? Most of us have, and this is what happened to Abram. In chapter 12, he's Abram. When you get on over there, he's Abraham. Same man. Just done been worked on by God. Hello, somebody. Had a remodeling job. God does that with all the rest of us, too. He changed his kitchen apparel. He changed his bathroom. He changed the entire part about Abraham. God called Abram to change his life completely and turn his life around. God called Abram to forsake and leave all he had ever known, to turn away from his old country, to turn away from his neighbors, his friends, his relatives, and his loved ones, to turn away from his father's household, from all its properties and its possession. This is what is known as separation, spiritual separation. A life that is totally separated from the world and the things of the world. This is also known as sanctification. A life that is totally set apart unto God. But remember, God did not just demand separation of Abram. God gave him at least three wonderful promises. One of them was he promised him he would inherit a land, and it's called the Promised Land. Then he turned around and gave him another promise. He promised him the promised seed would come from the people, and he would be father of a great nation. And then the other promise he made to him was that the promised seed of the Messiah, which meant that the Savior would come through the godly line of his descendants. Would Abram obey God? Let's look at point number one. And point number one is the title of the message, the beginning of faith. This starts with the message in verse 4. Abram left what he had. He turned away from his old life and began to follow God and his promises. Following the promises of God. Abram believed God. Abram believed God's word. Abram believed God's promises to him. Abram believed exactly what God said. And I don't want you to miss that. He believed exactly what God said. God said, God said, God said he would do it, and God will do what he said. In the simplest statement possible, Abraham believed and obeyed God. How did Abraham feel about the decision he was making? What kind of emotion did he experience? Abraham must have felt what we would experience if we were to have to leave everything that we have and all the people that we know and go someplace else. Just based upon the word of God. Know the fact that would play a large part in Abram doing what he was going to do. It tells us that he was 75 years old. Based upon the lifespan of that day, he was in middle age. what we would call today about 20, 25 to 40. But Abram was 75 years old. That like he was a man that was well settled in his time for his day. And he had to begin to think about starting all over again. For a middle-aged man to sell, to pack up and leave everything except yourself, and it's something that we will not think about doing. If I move, I'm going to take me and all my stuff and all my belongings. But God said, leave it and go. He had a decision to make. Plus, he had to go home and convince Sister Sarah. And that would have been a task, to leave everything, leave my kitchen, leave all of my pots and my pans and just take the bare necessities as we go along. Something he wasn't even thinking about. But God said, and I believe what God said, so therefore, I have to obey what God said. If faith is going to have a beginning in my life, and you do know, and I know you know this because you all are Bible scholars, Abraham is called the father of faith because of the trust that he put in God. Abraham didn't argue with God, didn't try to question him, didn't try to debate it, didn't try to go through any panel discussion or having a meeting with God about leaving. I just believe he just walked in and told Sister Sarah, said, we leaving. Pack your stuff and a little bit, travel light. Like you have to travel if you fly now. You can't take a whole lot of luggage. Just bare necessities. That's all you need. He didn't try to make excuses about why he could not go. I can't go because I'm settled here now, and this is where I need to stay because all my stuff is here. If you're going to serve God and you're going to be faithful and do what he has for you to do, you got to stay packed and ready to go to do what thus saith the Lord. And everybody, hello somebody, can't go with you where God want to take you. The only people by name that it says he carried with him was his wife and his nephew Lot. The rest of them were flocks and servants that he had. See, you know, some people you want to take with you will be a burden to you. You just got to leave them. You just got to leave them. It ain't that I don't love you, brother. But where I'm going now, I can't take any extra baggage. I'm traveling, and I'm traveling on Delta, and they only let me take one bag. And they cut the inches of the bag the other week. So that means they cut somebody else out of going with you. So you got to travel light, and that's what God was telling Abram. God called Abram to turn away from everything that he had gotten you to all of his old life. He had to cut it away. He was at a point where he had to accept and believe God and God's promises. And he had to obey and follow after God and his promises. Y'all, I'm going to keep saying that, following after God and his promises and obeying God. There are some Abrams in here today. God have been calling you to cut some stuff out of your life, but you just don't want to do it. Walk away from it and trust God. Whatever God take away from you, he will replace it with something better than what you thought you had. Trust him and obey him. That's what Abram did. He had faith in God. What happened to Abram that aroused the faith within Abram, it stirred Abram to believe and obey God. See, you have God put stuff in our way that we think is in our way, And in my strength, I can't get through it. But I just shut my eyes and say, God, I'm trusting you. Don't know what's going to happen, but you said do it, and I'm going to do it. You said for me to go, and I'm going to go. What's that song? Order My Steps? See, sometimes we can sing these songs and pray these prayers, but we can't live them in our lives. It has to become real in your life. You have to know that God's going to order your steps. You got to trust him and believe in him and obey him and just walk. Walk. Trust in him, knowing that he's going to take you through. There was a faith within Abram that he didn't know he had. He answered God's call and accepted God's promise. It was God himself that talked to Abraham. Didn't send Michael or none of the other archangels. God came himself. For it said God appeared unto him. He said, I got God's word. I ain't lost. Y'all know what I'm doing, don't you? Marinating you, I'm baking you on this side and turning you over. I want you to get it. He had God's word. He answered God's call. He had God's promise. That's what initiated the faith within Abram. Every person needs desperately to hear God's call, God's promise. And then you will be able to turn away from all the things of the world, and you will be able to turn to this God. The beginning of faith. Faith beginning. It has to start someplace in your life. Just do you believe, man? The more you trust in him, the greater your belief will come and your faith will come in him. We have faith in a lot of other stuff. Most of us, I know I didn't. This morning when I went out to my truck, I didn't even check to see whether the battery was there. Didn't even check to see. I just put the key in the ignition and didn't even look to see whether I had gas. I just turned it on, believing and knowing that the last time I stopped it, that it was running, and so it was going to crank this time. Why can't we be towards this God, trusting in him? Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to get on. How many of you did he tell you he was going to wake you up this morning? But we trusted him to do that. We trusted him to do that. We trusted him to look after us while we slumbered and slept. Why can't we, with whatever is in your life that you think that you can't handle and God can't either, why don't you give it to God? And you just leave it alone. God wants us to live a separated life, a life that is totally given over to God. It is always God's word. It is always God's call on my life. It is always God's promises that he have made to me in his written word. That's what it takes to arouse the faith that's in me. And let me say this, because you think you don't have faith to trust this God as much as you need to trust him, don't stop trusting him the little bit that you're trusting him. Because a little bit of your faith with God, it's much. But you just got to trust him and keep walking with him. The beginning of faith and obedience always begins with God, with his word, and with his call on our lives and the promises that his word tells us. And in order to get his promises, you have to hunker up to the table with your Bible and study God's word. If the only time you hear God's word is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you're going to be mighty weak. You eat 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times a day. So why can't you get in this word every day? And don't say you don't have time, because you do. Point number two. The influence of faith. We know Abraham had influence because others followed him. They followed the lead of Abraham's faith. We said Sarah and Lot, and Sarah was Abraham's wife and Lot was his nephew. Abraham strongly influenced them, because you find no place in there where they questioned him about what he was doing. Just tells us that they went with him. Hello, somebody. God's trying to tell us sometime, the people and that's leading you, sometime you need to just follow them and do like they said for you to do, because you know that they are following the word of God. I'm not telling you if I tell you to stand on that track out there, that railroad track, and that train's coming with about 10 engines on it. If you don't see me standing there beside you, get off the track. Get off the track, because it's going to hurt you. You need to have some common sense. That's why you need to stay in God's word. There had to be some shock, and I said that earlier in Sister Sarah, because she was experiencing something that she had not experienced before, and Brother Lot as well. But they were looking at Abraham and the faith that Abraham had in this God that he had told them that appeared to him. But nothing whatsoever in the Bible is said about Sarah and Lot opposing Abraham. And nothing is said about Abraham forcing or coercing them to go. Seemed to be that Sarah and Lot were persuaded by Abraham's faith. And let me stick a pin right there and stop right there. Somebody somewhere are watching you, because something has stirred their interest in your faith. They have been observing you with the things and the way that you seem to be walking. I'll share this with you, and this ain't in my message, and Dr. Michaels at West Florida Baptist Institute would say this is free. But it's to show you how your walk has to have something to do with other people. At the annual session Friday, we had an extended break that we were not supposed to have. And so I went to a room and expecting to be in a meeting, and there was no meeting. And then another brother come in who goes to a church in Panama City. And we began to talk, and after a while, another preacher walked in, and after a while another preacher walked in, and we had a conversation, and we were talking about the Lord, and the brother come up to me after and said, you know, he said, all these years that you've been coming, I've been watching you, and said, nothing about you seem to have changed. Said, you're always talking about this word. Saying you don't talk foolishness. And I sat there and I said, thank you. And I didn't have anything else to say, so I didn't say anything else. And we just kept right on talking. And we talked about this word and the gospel until 5 o'clock. And when 5 o'clock arrived, it was time for class. And I went to teach my class on equipping the saints. And he was sitting in the class. I taught the class, and we had about 7 or 8 people in there. It was 2 men in there, and this is one of them right here. He was in there, and I didn't pay him to come to my class. He just happened to walk into the class that I was teaching. But it was 2 men in there and 6 or 7 ladies in there. And after it was over, he said, "Thank you, Pastor." He said, and he's not a deacon or not a pastor, not a minister. He's a layman. He's just a believer in this gospel. He said, "Keep walking." And I said one thing to him. I said, "Pray for me. Pray for me." And I said that not patting Dwight Baggett on the back, but trying to show you what God will do when you don't even know that he's working in you. I knew the brother had seen him, because, and most of you all have too, because he's always in the sessions. But my point is, Abram had been living in front of Sarah and Lot, and they didn't question him when he said go. You need to know who you're following and where you're putting your trust. That, and I'm back to my lesson now, that our lives can and will be a testimony for someone else to understand, to look at and know that God is more than what's in this book. He's in our lives. We take this book, what's in this book, off these pages and put it into our lives, then it draws someone else to this God that we serve. And you need to be willing to do that. Abram's faith was strong, and he did not allow the wealth to hold him back. Abram was apparently a wealthy rancher with great herds and flocks. I think it's somewhere, you read somewhere else, and I was intending to write that down, but I didn't. It says that he was also rich with gold and silver. He had all of this, but because of this God that we serve, he was willing to leave it. He had gained great possessions after he had left Ur and went to Haran, following the word of God. But see now, and I don't want you to miss this, Abram was following God. He was a faithful servant of God. And you can be a faithful servant of God and think you're doing everything God would have you to do, but you'll get waylaid somewhere on the road. You need to watch out for distractions. Stuff will distract you from doing what thus saith the Lord. Abram got distracted. He stopped in Haran, and that wasn't where God had told him to be. So you got to make sure you listen to the word of God. So he did all of that, but he still did not leave the word of God. He stayed with God, but he got distracted. And brothers and sisters, you will get distracted, but you can still be an influence on others to follow Jesus the Christ. You got to live this life so you can draw others to Christ. And don't try to draw them to yourself. Sometimes you got to pick up everything that you have and leave and strike out and go somewhere else. And you can strike out and go somewhere else and stay in the same church and in the same house. But the way that you live, you totally turn it around and do it entirely different. You do it according to the word of God. When God calls you, he calls you to have an influence on somebody else, to draw them to Christ. A definition for leadership is influence. Another definition for leadership, like Abraham had, if nobody's following you, you are not leading. You just out for a walk. You may be walking through your life for 5 or 6 years. You got to have somebody following you. Abraham had somebody following him. That's how he had an influence on them and their life. They picked up everything and went along and followed him. But he reached Haran, and then he stopped doing what God said. thinking that he had reached the place where God would have him to be. I stopped by to tell you, you only reach that place when you get to glory. Until then, you got to keep striving and got to keep working to do the will of God. Don't try to have influence on people. Just let God use you and you live the way God would have you to live. Then you will be influencing people. You influence people when you don't even know it. That's why you got to always be living for him. I walk for him every day. When you're driving, you got to drive for him, because somebody going to cut you off and you going to want to turn and somebody going to be in the way. And don't show them your IQ when they do that to you. Just keep right on driving and think you're driving for the Lord. Lord, I know you're watching me and I got to do just what you said. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for the big word is he's omnipresent. I mean, he's everywhere. Just because you're in a different town now from where you live doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be walking for God. Every step you take ought to be ordered for God. When God confronted Abraham the next time, Abraham understood the promise of God as never before. He understood the eternal hope of God, that God had something greater for him than what he was looking for. He thought he was just looking for another place to reside and find that place that he was supposed to be. But you got to stay with him. You have to make a total commitment to follow God and his promises. I don't understand all of his promises sometimes. That's why when I get to reading his word, I ask him to give me insight into his word. How can I apply this to my life? How can this help me to become a greater believer and a greater servant of the Lord? You have to ask him, because you don't know everything, and God does. He got it all, and he will impart it to you, but you have to ask him, and you got to work. You got to get in this word and stay in this word, and you won't understand it sometime. I don't know whether y'all noticed or not, but the last three or four messages have been in the Old Testament. I don't like the Old Testament, but I know I got to do it, because this is what he puts in my mind and in my heart, is to study his word. And when you get in his word, you got to believe him. You got to take his word. And he said, he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. It's in his word, and if I believe his word, I'm going to follow his promises, and I'm going to take his word and I'm going to apply it to my life. You got to endure, you got to persevere until you reach the promised land. And you do know where the promised land is, don't you? That's in glory. That's not down here. That's where Abraham got messed up when God told him he had promised him that land. Abraham saw it physically. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If Abraham could have come out of being a man on earth, he would have stepped into spirituality, and he would have known whatever he promised me now is not here, it's there with him. You got to know that. You got to live this life so you can influence somebody else to come this way. Point number three, the testing of faith. It said in some one of those passages I read that Abraham reached the land of Canaan, and when he reached the land of Canaan, he just kept right on going through it. He passed through the land of Canaan, what God had told him was a promised land. And can you just imagine in your mind when you reach that point where you think you have arrived, and God does not show up, and the promised land that God said, told you to go to, somebody else already there. It's like a job. God shows you that you're going to be head of this company, and you go there to get a job, and you expect to be exalted to the place that God told you that you were going to have. You got to keep working. You got to work your way from the mail room to the pen room, but you got to work your way. God made a promise. He didn't say you wasn't going to have to go through something. Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost, is the true and the living Son of God, but he had to go through something. He had to come down and become what he made. Became a little born baby that man had to feed him and change him and give him a bath and give him a place to sleep and give him something to eat and show him a trade. All of this he created, for it said in Genesis, they went said, let it be. He was right there. Then he said, let us go make man. They went down and they made man, and he became what he made. You got to be tested in this life. If you were not supposed to be tested in this life, as soon as you got saved, you'd be out of here. You'd be raptured out. If you got saved sitting here today, you'd go right up through the ceiling and you wouldn't leave a hole. But he left you here for you to take a test. Yeah. Uh-huh. We don't like tests. We just want to get to heaven anyhow. But you got to go and be tested. I said a few seconds ago, when Abram got to Canaan, it was inhabited by the Canaanites, who was a very mean and nasty people. Listen, this life, in order for you to be tested, is a journey. You're going to have to be a pilgrim traveling through this weary land. And when you travel through a land, there are positions. Abraham believed God. He believed the word of God. He believed the promises of God. Canaan is the land that I'm going to give you. Try to, if you can, be Abram. I had this thing last night and yesterday. I said, I'm traveling and I'm believing the word of God. God has told me this is the land that you're going to inhabit. I get to the land that he told me that I'm believing that I'm going to inhabit. I don't know what Abraham was thinking. But I got a couple of questions on my sheet there, and I think I can remember them. It said, when I get to this land, and I get there, and all these people are there, I didn't expect anybody to be there. I expected the land to be just wide open, open land, uninhabited. God promised me that I would inherit this land. But I get there and I see all these people on this land that God had promised me that I was going to inherit. What do I do? Do I turn around and go back to Haran? Do I stay there and fight the people that's in the land already, knowing that they are, it's more of them and they're greater than I am? What do I do? Brother Abraham, if you were here in our day and time, I would tell you one line of a song. I will trust in the Lord. But he's not here. But Abram had this trust, this faith that he put in God. And he passed on through. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he was yet trusting in God. God will keep his word. And he does not have to tell me exactly when it's going to happen. But I just got to trust him. I just got to know. I just got to know that I know that I know that I know that God's going to keep his word. This godless nation of people was there. And Abraham, they were a formidable enemy that he would have had to defeat. That's why God had him to pass on through. Abraham's faith was tested. Am I still going to believe in what God have told me? Am I going to believe that God is going to give me this land? You got to trust him. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you can trust him. This Abraham looked at these people and He knew that he himself could not defeat these people nor get them out of the land. He knew that there was only one answer to all of his questions. He knew that God himself would have to get these people away from this land for him to inherit it, for his people to possess the land. Abraham and his people never possessed the land of Canaan, but they possessed the promised land. God made a promise, and God will keep his promise. There is something that us as believers have to get to a place. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, if I'm not mistaken. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Abraham was looking for it at the wrong place. He was looking for the promised land to be the land of Canaan, and it is symbolic of heaven. But that tells me that all believers are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are born again, sanctified, saved, and full of the Holy Ghost, your spiritual body is already there. It says we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are there. So you got to know that you know that you know that you know that that heaven's your home. But you need to make sure that you are living for God. And you're not back in Michael's day when the false prophets were telling you this, that, and the other. So you got to know that. It raised us up and we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the promised land was already there and they had already obtained it because of their belief in Christ. The believer is immediately placed in the heavenly realm of life. You got to know that. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit of the things of the spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So therefore, if you are a believer and you're looking for the spiritual, for the Canaan land, you got to stay within Christ, this God that we serve. Don't let where you think you are now stop you from believing and knowing that you have the word of God. You don't have my word. You have the word of God. He says that you are resting, you are in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. In is not outside of, it's not on, it's not the closest to, it's in. In. You're in this building. You're not close to it. You're in this building. If you are in Christ Jesus, it means that you believe, you're taking the word of God, you have applied it to your life, and you are living it within your brethren, and you are telling them and showing them what it's like to have faith in Jesus Christ. The beginning of faith. This is our beginning. This is the father of faith. This is how we need to walk. Take God at his word. Take God at his word. Believe his word. Walk in his word. Take his promises and apply them to your life. Then you can walk in heavenly places because you are in Christ Jesus. Abram followed after God. Even before he became Abraham, he followed God. He believed and he trusted in God. He walked with God because God had him to leave from where he was to go to the place where God would have, where God could get the most use out of him. And here we are, better than 2,000 years later, still talking about that man that left everything he had to walk with God. Am I saying you sell all your stuff? And no, I'm not saying that. If I tell you that, don't you do it. You wait till God tell you to do it. When God tells you to do it and you're listening to him, then things are going to go well. But my point in this whole message to me today is to let you know that because you're serving God, everything's not going to be okay with you all the time either. You're going to have difficult times. And sometimes you're going to have a difficult time because you are walking the way God would have you to walk. It's not a pleasant afternoon stroll walking with God. You have to have on your war clothes. You have to know that you are in a battle and that God will take you to places that you have not been and will have you to do things that you have not done before. Got one more point, then I'm going to let you go. The confirmation of faith. That's in verses 7 through 9. The first phrase in that verse 7, said the Lord appeared to Abram. I'm beginning to wonder if God helped anybody else because he was too busy appearing to Abram. And he didn't appear to him about 3 or 4 times, but he appeared to him. And see, God will have something to happen to you, just like he had to happen. God appeared to Abraham to assure him of his promises, both about the promised seed and about the promised land. They're confirmations of faith. God will confirm his word. That young man that I was telling you about in our conversation that we had in a private conversation, and the other preachers were sitting there, he would just say, confirmation. That was to nobody in the group but me because of our conversation that we had had. Those other things that were said was confirming the things that we had been talking about. So you see, God will confirm this Bible is the best reference for this Bible. If you find it one place in this Bible, you will find it someplace else in this Bible. Might not be but one or two places, but you will find it somewhere else in this Bible. You will find at more than one time. Appeared, you'll find it more than one time. And you know the amazing thing that I found out when I looked in Strong Concordance? There's something in studying the Bible they call first-time use. And I was looking in my concordance for faithfulness, and I looked in there, and it wasn't in Genesis. I said, Strong must have messed up something. I said, Abraham is the father of faith, but faith is not, it doesn't say Abraham had faith. The word faith does not appear in there with Abraham. Knowing that Abraham had faith was based upon how he lived. I know some of you intelligent people are going to get that. It didn't describe him as being faithful. It just said he did what God said for him to do. So see, you may be saved and somebody else might say that you're a good guy and you're doing all right. Don't you change what you're doing because they didn't say you were saved. Abraham's faithfulness was not based upon what God said about him. It's based upon what Abraham did. Abraham lived out to being the father of the faithful. He didn't talk about it. God, to me, God didn't have to tell Abraham, you got faith. Abraham had to show God that he had it because to me, if that would have been Dwight Baggett, when I came to Canaan land and those other people was in there and I had to get them out in order for me to inherit, I would have turned around and went back to Baker. I mean, because God said, I trusted his word. But when I got there, they wasn't there. But Abraham had faith. He passed right on through and kept living the way God would have him to live. And God is going to give them that land. They haven't yet physically inherited all the land. But when he comes back, y'all, his word is going to be true. They're going to inherit all of that land that God said for them to inherit. Whatever that Canaan land is in your life, it just, excuse my grammar, ain't time for you to inherit Canaan land. You keep the faith. Keep living in God's word, and you will inherit your Canaan land. Anything that come easy, go easy. You got to endure. You got to fight the fight. If you don't fight the fight, you can't win the race. Abraham trusted God enough to know that God himself would remove the people out of the land. And you have to know that you know that you know that you know that God will do what he said. And if you notice, God didn't promise Abram that he would receive the promised land in his lifetime. Those people that you think you're praying for that are never going to get saved, you keep praying for them. You might have to die in order for them to be saved. You might have to leave them alone for 6 or 7 months and or 5 or 6 years and they still be saved. Or they may, he or she may even have to go to jail, may even have to get sick, but they'll get saved. Don't stop doubting the word of God. That's one of the tools that the devil has that he will not get rid of, and that's doubt. He's going to keep that tool, because if he can plant that tool in our mind, we doubt this word of God, we'll walk away from it. Don't allow him to plant that in your mind. When God appeared to Abram in verse 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there Abraham built an altar. He built an altar unto the God that had appeared unto him. Now, I said it that way, and I think the Bible somewhere says it that way, but and I thought that it said unto the God that appeared unto him, because other people were building altars to other gods. You got to know the God that you're serving. Built an altar mean that he said, this is a place I'm going to worship God. This is a place I'm going to serve God. This is a place I'm going to give thanks unto God. I'm going to praise him because of what all he's done for me. He promised me that I would receive this land. Might not have it today, but I'm going to get it because I'm believing in what his word, what he told me that he was going to do. You have to ask God for the things that you think you need to for the advancement of God's kingdom. If God's not going to get the glory from it, don't do it. God needs to receive the glory from everything that believers do and say. God needs to get the glory from it. Don't show out at business meeting if God's not going to get the glory for it. Don't get in a rant and a rave in Walmart because somebody cut in front of you in line if God's not going to get the glory from it. Whatever you do, God need to receive the glory from if you are a believer. And this is the way that Abram lived. He wanted God to receive the glory for all the things that he did in his life. You have to know that you know that you know that you know that God is working in your life. Abram did some awesome things for God because God used him and he allowed God to use him. And can I just tell you, and I'm fixed to get out your way, that he'll do those same things with you. But you have to let him do those things for you. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, of the God that began the faith walk with a man, one man and all of his children, one man and the whole nation of Israel. And he didn't get to see them all. And at the time God told him all of that, he did not have an heir. But he believed God. You have to believe him. You have to have faith in him. We extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, of the God that said, let there be. The one that breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. The one that took his son down upon Calvary and brought him, put him in a grave and brought him back alive. That God. Will you commit your life to him? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today? He'll take you just as you are. You won't have to change anything but your commitment. You will have to commit to him. Just come just as you are. He'll take you. But you got to come. You have to come. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.
Loneliness, I had my share of loneliness, but I'm still here. Listen. Through it all, I made it through another day's journey. God's kept me here. Can anybody relate to that? I made it through another day's journey. God's kept me here. Lied on. Many times I've been lied on, but I'm still here. Burdens I had to bear, so many burdens,
yeah.
But I'm still here. Thank you, Lord. Dark days, I've had my share of dark days, but I'm still here. Disappointments, I had so many disappointments, but I'm still here. Through it all, I made it through another day's journey. God's kept me here. I made it through another day's journey. God's kept me here. Let me tell you what it was, y'all. It's by the grace of God that I'm still here today. He was always there, no matter what came my way. A very present him in my time of need. Standing right there just to see about me. Oh, I made it through another day's journey. God's kept me here. Sometimes I had to lay awake at night with tears in my eyes, wondering what the next day was going to bring. But I'm still here.
God's kept me here.
Because I made it by the grace of God.
I made it.